Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Thursday, October 17th, and it's the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 62, first paragraph, Selfishness, Self-Centeredness. And we'll be unpacking that one paragraph only. Today's readers are The 12 Steps, Laura R., The 12 Traditions, Lorraine N., and the readers of the text are Kathy Jo P., Robin P., and Eileen M. The share ID for Wednesday, October 16th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 13,530. That's 13530. And for Thursday, today, October 17th, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 13,534. And our newcomer greeter will be either Eileen M. or Mary H. And announcements coordinator is Janice P.M. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Laura R. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you so much. This is Laura R., compulsive overeater out in Colorado. One. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thanks, and I pass.
Thank you, Laura R., and I will now ask Lorraine N. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, Lorraine N., compulsive eater from Oregon. The 12 traditions. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I pass.
And thank you, Lorraine N.
My
How
pleasure.
How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute your phone, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone again. And that's the star 1 button, not the mute button on your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 62, the first paragraph, starting with selfishness, self-centeredness. We'll be unpacking that one paragraph only. And I will now ask Kathy Jo P. to get us started. Good morning, Kathy Jo.
Good morning. This is Kathy Jo P., a recovered compulsive overeater in Minneapolis. Selfishness, self-centeredness. That, we think, is the root of our troubles. Driven by 100 forms of fear, self-delusion, self-seeking, and self-pity, we step on the toes of our fellows and they retaliate. Sometimes they hurt us seemingly without provocation, but we invariably find that at some time in the past, we have made decisions based on self, which later placed us in a position to be hurt. So I'm married to an addict, and we argued every morning, and it usually started with him lashing out at me. And I would feel very sorry for myself, like, oh my gosh, he's so mean. Why is he so mean to me? He wakes up crabby every morning. And what I found out is that he could only take so much. And I'm the type that would lash out, you know, quickly, often, frequently. And he was the type that could take a lot and then just enough is enough. So because I mistreated him so many times during the day when I was not recovered and in this major place of self-centeredness, he would retaliate every single morning. And I came into the rooms of Vision for You about 3.5 years ago, and I did the work. And our relationship, the one with my husband, was still struggling. And about a year ago, I did another fourth and fifth step. And for some reason, since more deeper work, our relationship has shifted so much that there's no mean words in the morning anymore. In fact, he brings me a cup of coffee most mornings in bed. And I really believe that's from the work of this program. And I read here, and I just want to focus on it. There's 100 forms of fear, self-delusion, self-seeking and self-pity. And I'm going to zero in on the self-pity because I had so many pity parties. I felt so sorry for myself. I felt like nothing ever went well for me and no one cared about me. And I mean, I remember there was some kind of joke about laying on the couch and eating bonbons, feeling sorry for myself. And I was like, sign me up. And in AA, there's a saying, pour me, pour me, pour me another drink. And in OA, I've heard, pour me, pour me, pour me another milkshake. And man, not only did I live in self-pity, I found people that liked to hear my woes. And I had a couple people that I would talk to 5 days a week and tell them the list of everything going wrong for me and how I was being mistreated by so many people, from the soccer manager to a teacher at school. I can tell you today, I don't have a list. I don't have a list of people that have mistreated me. I don't have a list of problems. I don't have a list of unhappiness and woes. What I have instead is a list of gratitudes and at my fingertips, people that I want to help and listen to and be there for them. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy Jo, for getting us started. I'll just remind us, everyone, where we're at. We're on page 62, first paragraph, selfishness, self-centered. And I'll now take names of those who'd like to share.
Shanta
H. Bruce E.
Shanta H. Shanta, Bruce. Who was after Bruce?
Kaylee T.
Janice P.
Kaylee T.
Janice P. M. Yep.
I got you, Janice. Who was after
Thank
Janice?
You.
Amanda B.
Eileen.
Okay, wait a minute.
Patty D.
Patty D. All right, one more.
Stacy J.
Amanda
Eileen
B.
M.
Who's that J? Stacy J.
That's
All right,
me.
We'll stop there. Okay, so Santa H, I think it is, Bruce E, Kayla, I forgot your last initial, Kayla, you give it to me, Janice PM, Patty D, and Stacy J. All right, we're going to start with Santa and then follow Santa with Bruce. Good morning, Santa.
Good morning again, Mo. Thank you for hearing me and calling me this morning. My name is Santa H, and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater. And for me, this paragraph is a summary of what we have been reading about the ways of I can be selfish. And it's really getting me prepared for step three that we will be launching on in a few days, and which means I would go and vigorously start my step four to deal with myself and to see where I'm being selfish, self-seeking, dishonest and afraid. And that is wonderful. I was so grateful when I first did this because I did not know that self was running the show in my life. I did not know that that my thoughts were what was blocking me from having freedom. And today I learned that for me, knowing that self place myself in a position to be hurt means I can heal, which means through my higher power, I can heal today. I can be responsible for the things that I've done because the only person that I can change is myself. And so today for me, through spiritual practice of these principles in this big book, is that I have learned to stay in my own lane. And I'm on a spiritual path just like the next person is on a spiritual path. And I have learned that not to get into someone else's lane and to stay in my path. They have a higher power and it's not me. It's like I have a higher power. And my higher power is leading and guiding me and their higher power is leading and guiding them. And when I try to get into their lane, that can form and cause a collision. And so today I can be happy, joyous, and free knowing that I don't have to rule anybody's life anymore, that I don't have to run the show anymore, and that I can just focus on myself, on the things that I can change about me. And with that, I pass.
Well, thank you for getting us started, Santa H. Bruce E., followed by Kayla T., I remembered. Good morning,
well,
Bruce.
This is Bruce E., excuse me. Thank you, everybody. Thank you. And thank you, everybody on the line here. So our troubles, we think, are basically of our own making. Well, let's see. That's just putting it right down to me, isn't it? It's me. I got to do so. So our troubles are basically our own making. So for years and years and years, like probably everybody, I thought that I could blame all the problems and troubles of my life on everybody else. You know, if I blame on everybody else, I don't have to deal with them myself. You know, I don't have to look at the pain of that thing. You know, if I can blame it on you, then it's off of me. But it's saying I can't do that. I got to take the responsibility here because my troubles are basically of my own making. I created my troubles. And now I got to take the responsibility for it. Okay, so now what am I going to do? They arise out of ourselves, and the alcoholic is an extreme example of self-will run riot. Well, I lived in self-will. I still live in self-will. I still want to go back to it. Anytime my wife says anything to me that I don't like, you know, I get back into self-will, and I want to blame her for something, you know. But I got to live a different way. It goes on to say that. I got to be different than I used to be. I got to choose a new way of life instead of choosing that old life, which didn't work for me. Though he usually doesn't think so. It says self-will run right. He usually doesn't think so. In other words, I usually don't think, man, it's not my problem. It's not my fault. It's everybody else's fault. So I usually don't think so. But now I'm looking at this and it's hitting me in the face. I'm saying, yep, this selfish above everything else, we alcoholics must be rid of this selfishness. So what happens if I don't get rid of it? Well, maybe I'll stay abstinent, but if I stay abstinent, I'm still not going to be a very happy person, am I? You know, as long as I'm walking around with all this selfishness. And I may not stay abstinent either. So I got to get rid of it above everything else, okay? I got to get rid of the selfishness. Well, how do I do that? Well, we must, or it kills us. God makes that possible. So there's the answer to the selfishness is God. But it's got to be, the way I see it, is a partnership between me and God, because it goes on to say at the end of that paragraph, wherever that is, we had to have God's help. So I can't do this myself. I can't, God can. Maybe I'll try God or trust God. We had to have God's help. So it has to be a partnership. It's not like on the selfishness that God does it all. Maybe does a lot of it, but I got to do something. You know, I got to do my part in this thing. Well, what's my part? I got to do something here. We must or kill. Okay. And there often seems no way of entirely getting rid of self without his aid. Okay. I got to have his aid. And I'm asking now. So I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Bruce E. Kayla T. followed by Janice P.M. Good morning, Kayla.
Hey, this is Kayla T., recovered overeater in Bellflower, California. I just wanted to first of all say thank you for letting me be in your meeting. Thank you for letting me be around you guys. I've heard great things already this morning. And, you know, this paragraph, when I first read it, was a hard pill for me to swallow, truth be told. That every single time, you know, I take this paragraph now as, you know, when I can be, so I can always fall back into self, you know, it's kind of, unfortunately, my default. And I don't usually catch it, you know, right away. What ends up happening for me is I start to see the reactions from my children, my husband, my fellows, my coworkers, and I start to get, you know, I can start to see how they're uncomfortable or they're starting to retaliate, you know, and then I get this reminder like, oh, it's me, you know, it must be me. And then I get to go back and take a look at what that, you know, how I've been acting. And, you know, the only thing I can do at that point is, you know, ask God to remove my defects and make me be, help me to be a useful person again. You know, I'm a little scattered today. It's I have literally a three-week-old baby, and it's been kind of a challenge getting balance from that. And so I'm just, again, just really, really grateful to be able to be in a meeting with you guys. And I'm thankful for the reminders, you know, because having a new baby has definitely put me in some days of self. And that's been a challenge lately. So I'm just, that's why we come to meetings, is why I come to meetings, is to be reminded on how to do these things. And like the last speaker shared about, it's just, it's about bringing God back into the equation. And I'm just really grateful to be a part of this journey with you. That's it. Thanks.
Thank you, Kayla T. Janice PM, followed by Patty D. Janice, good morning.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Mo. H, my name is Janice PM, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts with no power, electricity, all last night and today. And boy, I was never so grateful to see the light of day so that I could see. And of course, that, of course, to me is a higher power. Imagine that higher power comes through after 24 hours and we have light, not light in the home, but light outside. And I am so grateful for that. And boy, if, you know, we read here, I just have to mention about how we rely on electricity. Well, my goodness. Yeah, we do. But if I didn't rely and wait for God to get us some light outside. So I'm going to rely, trust, and depend upon him to get me out of myself and bring it back to the paragraph. You know, I never thought that selfishness, self-centeredness, that's the last thing I thought of that was the root of my troubles. I thought the problem was get the right food combinations, go to the right meeting. I had nothing to do with me. Selfishness? I was the type of person that would give you anything off my back. Yeah, for what? For me. For me. That's why I always had a motive, perhaps. You know, sometimes I didn't, but so that I would feel good. Not for the other person. I wanted to please them. And then, of course, if they didn't reciprocate, guess what? I would be resentful. Ha-ha. Because of my selfishness about the world has to center around Janice. You do what I want you to do. You do what pleases me. And still, I could never get that because I was always blaming you were the problem. You were the problem. But no, it was I. It was me. It was me. It was self. That's the root of my problems, because I have a lot of them, as all of us do, but I also have the solution today after embarking on these steps. It's simple. I'm powerless. I don't have the power. It's not about me being the self-centered. It's about learning the goal to get to the God-centered, the power. The power just, you know, it's just going to be there. Once we apply these steps, it's going to come through. It says, made a decision based on self. Yeah, I didn't know it, though. Everything involved me. I thought too often of myself. That's selfishness. Thinking too often on how I was going to feel. Get my son sober. Imagine me get my son sober so I would feel better. But not for him. Yeah, because, you know, I was embarrassed. It's everything I did was about me. You do that, and then I'll feel proud. My husband wearing the wrong clothes to the office, don't wear those, because after all, they might say, does your wife notice you when you get out? All about me. Thank you so much. So this is where we're going to turn. We're going to make a decision for the solution. And with that, I'm going to pass. Thanks.
Well, thank you. And we hope you get your power back soon. Patty D, followed by Stacy J. Good morning, Patty.
Good morning, Mo. Hi, this is Patty D, recovered compulsive overeater in Matthews, North Carolina. This paragraph, I think when I first started in OA, like a year and a half ago, was a tough one. You know, really, it's all my fault. Most of this is my fault. And it's so true that we're driven by 100 forms of fear and self-delusion, self-seeking, self-pity. And I think the thing that spoke to me most was, you know, I grew up with an emotionally abusive mother who was mentally ill, and that really scarred me. And then I married someone who was just like her. Pride. And so for 25 years, I was in that marriage. And so there's a lot of wounds there. But the thing that really spoke to me was when I listened to our fellow Harlan do a special edition on this chapter, and one thing he said was that the freshness date on your unhappy childhood has expired. And I was like, whoa, okay. So there comes a point where you have to ask, for me, I had to ask God to heal those wounds and help me move on. And that's what this program has helped me do, and helped me to look at myself and my self-pity and what that led to in all these wrongs I thought I had suffered and did suffer every day in my relationship with other people, which led me to the food. So that healing and looking to God for that and doing that through the steps and in this program is what has ultimately led to my recovery and to peace. And I'm so grateful for that. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Patty D. And before we go to Stacy J., I'm going to have Leslie W. come on the line and give us an announcement. Good morning, Leslie.
Good morning. Start spreading the news. I'm leaving today. I want to be a part of it. New Jersey, New Jersey. These vagabond shoes are longing to trudge right through the very heart of it. Jersey, New Jersey. That's right, folks. I hope that you are not going to miss out on this conference coming. It's not very far away. You know that we are all going to be meeting in New Jersey, New Jersey, in Newark, at the Newark International Airport Marriott. There are going to be 800 of your closest and best friends there. Do not miss out on this opportunity. Registration closes October 24. Go to the website for more info. It's www.avision4you.info. And I will be there at the registration table, so I hope that you will come by and say hi. And I cannot wait. I'm super excited. See you there, folks.
Wow. Thank you very much, Leslie. Nice entertainment in the middle of the shares. All right, Stacy J., and after Stacy, I'll take names for more shares. Good morning, Stacy. Sorry about the interruption for you.
No problem. Good morning. Stacy J. from Toronto, Canada. I wanted to share about this because I just completed my inventory after a long period of relapse. I guess I became desperate enough, and having now 1 month and 2 days of abstinence and having completed my fourth step and giving it away to my sponsor, I saw that selfishness is, I think, in every single resentment I have and many of my fears. And I had there's a great definition. If people listen to one of our fellows, there's a special edition about doing a fourth step, Lori, who L-A-W-R-I-E, and he talks about doing a fourth step quickly, and he defines selfishness simply as wanting things my way, for my benefit or for other people's benefit. And that was a new definition of selfishness for me, and it was pretty astounding because my thought was like, of course I want things my way. And therefore, that's why every resentment and most of the fears show selfishness, like I want things my way. And he defines self-seeking as, I think it was he did or someone else did, as the actions I take to get my way. So, you know, here I am going like the Tasmanian devil through life, trying to get everyone to behave the way I want and take lots of steps that arouse, you know, resentment and step on the toes of my fellows to get people to behave the way I want. And the other thing I saw, which is also rooted in selfishness, was a tremendous amount of like deep, deep feelings of inadequacy, that therefore I needed people to justify and tell me that I was good enough because I felt not good enough. So it's astounding to me how much, and I never would have thought those things about myself before doing this fourth step the way that my sponsor directed me to do. So, you know, before doing this, I wouldn't have thought I was as selfish, self-centered, self-seeking as I apparently am. But the good news is, even going through this inventory, I'm abstinent. So there's something miraculous that happened in looking at these things that has kept me abstinent after years of relapse. And I don't know how that's happening. I can't understand it, but it's working. And I'm just very grateful and willing. It gives me a willingness to look at my part and certainly a deep desire to be transformed and come into alignment with whatever my higher power would have me be. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Stacey J. Remind everybody we're on page 62, the first paragraph only, selfishness, self-centeredness. And I will now take more names of those who'd like to share.
Donna W.
Donna W., Jackie A.
Jackie A.
Sharon K.
Linda R.
Sharon K.
Eileen.
Linda
Carrie F.
R.
Eileen
M. I'll stop there. Sorry, guys. I know you all want to share. So Donna W., Jackie H., Sharon K., Linda R., and Eileen M. I'll stop there. If we have time, I'll let you know. All right. Donna W., followed by Jackie H.
Thanks, Mo. This is Donna W., calling in from Palo Alto, California. And I can't tell you how grateful I am that we're reading this part right here, right now, because as I shared last week, my mother just passed away, and you know, like I out of the best intentions, I want everybody to respond and grieve the way I grieve, right? And there's been a lot of drama, which has caused me a lot of stress. But you know, I've been reading through this section every day, and it's like, even though I want people to behave calmly, even though I want them to be rational. You know, they're not in recovery. I am. And but, you know, everyone gets to respond the way they get to respond, that they need to respond. And so just seeing that, just even me wanting things to be more harmonious is selfish, is self-centered. And then I've been filled with lots of self-pity, feeling victimized with how, with all the drama. I'm the executor, so that's adding a lot of drama. But it's just good for me to own my part in it, you know. And so I work my program. And I stay on my side of the street. I get to pray for my sister who's being, you know, really dramatic. And, you know, I get to do 10 steps every day. I get to invite God into my life. Whenever I check in with my higher power, I hear just get on the beam. Like, I don't have to figure everything out. I don't have to manage anybody. What a concept. I got to get on the beam and just, you know, let God manage things and just do the next right action. And it's just a friggin' miracle. You know, it's been really stressful, but like, thank God I have some tools. Thank God I have people to call who've been through this. I'm not alone. I'm not unique. I'm living life. I'm feeling my feelings. And I'm not using food today. It's a friggin' miracle. So I just have to say, like, you know, when life's good, program's great. But like, when things are rough, oh my God, program is. It's helped me realize just how precious program is, because I have some sanity to show up and be present for life today. And I have a higher power, and I have all you guys. Thanks so much. I pass.
Thank you, Donna W. Jackie H., followed by Sharon K. Jackie.
Thank you, Mom, for your service. This is Jackie H., gratefully recovered in Colorado. I love this whole section that we're reading. It wasn't real pleasant to read, actually, when I first got into recovery, because I seriously, really seriously, did not think I was selfish and self-centered. I really thought I was a victim and that everybody was out to somehow harm me in some way, and that if, and I also thought I was right. I thought I was right, and if everybody would do just exactly what I thought, just like this whole section talks about, I most definitely was the director. And wow, I put so much distance between myself and so many people, because, and when I would blame them, this part here, driven by 100 forms of fear, self-delusion, self-seeking, and self-pity, we step on the toes of our fellows, and damn it, they retaliate. And how dare them retaliate? But as I dived into this program, as I cleaned up my side of the street and continue to clean up my side of the street daily, as I have the privilege of doing 12 steps, I really get to see where I got the ball rolling. And whenever I see that part, whenever I see the part that I got the ball rolling, you know, the resentment absolutely goes away, because I'm the one that created the resentment in my mind to begin with. And I just am so grateful. I'm grateful for this program today. Oh, my goodness. In spite of my humanness, I'll never graduate out of being human. In spite of my humanness, I have a relatively beautiful life here, and I have the tools to clean things up when I make a mess, and I still make messes because I am human. And the other thing about this is, I am not my ego. That is the part that wants to play God. That's the part of me that's selfish, self-centered. That little self. The other part of me, I have this other part of me, that this higher part of me, the higher voice. We have a fellow that speaks about the higher voice and the lower voice, and the lower voice is my ego. The higher voice is that God part of me, the beautiful essence, the innocence, the beauty that I am. And that's the part that I'm accessing. I have the privilege of accessing today, because I'm stripping away all these little ugly self things that the ego has piled on so much as, and makes me think that I am me. And so I am not wicked and wretched and core to the core. I am just the opposite. So thank you, and I will pass.
Thank you, Jackie H. Sharon K., followed by Linda R. Sharon?
Hi, Mo, thank you for your service.
You're welcome.
To me, this paragraph is the essence of why the program is simple but not easy. I mean, it is not complicated to figure out where we have been selfish or self-centered. I mean, you're basically filling out a form and being honest. Like, it's not a complicated process, but it takes courage, and it's not easy. And what takes even more courage is the willingness to change your behavior. I mean, I had this come up for me yesterday. I had someone I was working with that chose to not represent me anymore to a client that I would love to work with. And like, I had to do that inventory, and it was wrong, because I really, really, really wanted to make it her fault. And I had seen what I had done wrong before. And then I wanted to go around her and go directly to the client and cut her out of the loop. And it's those things where we actually change our behavior to be aligned to God that makes it what's not easy. And yet those things, whenever we choose to do something with courage and integrity, as opposed to trying to take the easy way, that changes our lives completely. Thank you for listening.
Oh, thank you, Sharon. K, Linda R, followed by Eileen M.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, Mo. Thank you so much for your service. This is Linda R, recovered in North Carolina. I'm very grateful to the fellowship, and I love this paragraph that we're reading today. I love every paragraph in the big book. Anyway, selfish and self-centeredness. You know, I've been working this program many moons, and the more that I review the steps, the more enlarged I get spiritually and more enlightened, you know, with my higher power and what route I'm supposed to be taking in life. When I first learned selfishness, it was a totally different context. But for today, I try to really keep my program very simple. So selfishness just means to me that I don't accept the person or I don't accept the situation. When I get into that awareness of that happening, what happens is, for me, the mental obsession is really more of a problem at this point than my food. Thank God my food's been down for a very long time. However, I still do get into the mental obsession, which is self-seeking, because that's the selfishness triggers the self-seeking for me, which is like, if I don't accept someone, I go right into that squirrel wheel. I don't like him. I start like doing that mental obsession, which creates a lot of guilt and shame in me. So selfishness is not accepting the person or the situation. And when that happens, and it does at times, I go right into the self-seeking, which is my mental obsession. And then it's no surprise why inconsiderate is the next column, because to me, inconsiderate just means that I'm not turning it over to my higher power. And of course, it leads into the fear and the turnaround and all the rest of the process. So for me, it's just a very simple process. God is with me at all times. Sometimes I shift and I don't connect. And then he lets me know, Linda, you are being selfish. It's now a whole different level of being in recovery right now for me, because I have because I'm so blessed and grateful that I have the opportunity to repeat these steps so many times, and I'm very aware. So I just wanted to say, anyone new out there, it's taken me a lifetime, you know, to really understand a little better and to really be able to apply these steps in my daily life. And the key is God, 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 and that's it. You know, I once had someone start screaming, God, God, God. You know, like when I get like that, sometimes I just keep repeating God, 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 God. Gets me right out of my selfishness and back on, in alignment with what I'm supposed to be doing on a daily basis. Thank you for allowing me to share.
Thank you, Linda R. Eileen M., and we may have time for one or two more after Eileen. Eileen?
Good morning, Mo. This is Eileen M. I am a recovered compulsive overeater in New Hampshire. And, you know, I have in my margin, I wrote this down. I wrote, this is the nature of the spiritual malady. And before I came into the vision rooms, I didn't know what the root of my problem was. I thought the root of my problem was that I just liked food too much. I didn't know that I was a selfish person, and I certainly would never admit that I was self-centered, because I felt I was other-centered. Most of the time I kept the focus on other people and what they were doing or not doing. You know, that was what I focused on. And I heard someone else share this. I kind of had a similar path in this program. I came into Vision 3.5 years ago, and you know, I did the steps. I got abstinent. I did all the steps, and I recovered. And then, like a year later, I went back through the steps again, and I was taken through the fourth step in a much deeper way. It was much more involved, and I got even more awareness as a result of going through the steps again. And, you know, I began to realize that I really did become a victim when I blamed other people. And I blamed other people for the way that I reacted to them. You know, if they had not done something, then I wouldn't react the way I did. You know, and I was justifying my reactions, you know, and I didn't even realize that I had an expectation or a script. I didn't know I had a script of how other people should act. And, you know, until I started doing this, you know, this daily inventory, I kept doing it, is that, you know, it's incredible. It's like more gets revealed. And I'm so grateful for that, is my higher power is always revealing more to me. you know, more ways that I need to grow. And it's just, you know, I keep thinking life on life's terms. And, you know, I don't always want to do that. But when I do, you know, it's just things go so much better. And I love the sick man's prayer, because when I have a resentment, it's usually me feeling better than, you know, I get into my self-righteousness. And that prayer makes me focus on myself. And it gives me a humble perspective of, you know, the problem, really. So with that, I pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Eileen. And we can have two more, maybe two-minute shares. Anybody would like to share?
Julie
M. And who else?
Terry F.
Terry F. Okay, Julie? Julie M., we'll give you 2 minutes.
Hi, this is Julie M., recovered in, used to live in Colorado, now I live in Arizona, and I so appreciate this meeting this morning. Selfishness and self-seeking. When I learned what selfishness really is in the Big Book, I was blown away, because I came into the program so selfish and expecting everybody else to make my life better. And when I read the part about the director, and I realized that being selfish is when I want to be the director of life and everybody around me should act as a way. I want them to say what I want them to say. You know, down to coming home and the dishes aren't done. In that moment, I want my son to be the kind of teenager who does his dishes on time as soon as he's done eating, and I always have a clean. And then the selfishness, but the self-seeking is, what manipulation, what do I do to get him to follow my script? Do I roll my eyes? Do I yell at him? Do I, you know, clean everything up and then storm around the house slamming doors? And it can be on a small level up, you know, up to my daughter, who's a meth addict and a stripper, and it breaks my heart. You know, my selfishness, in my world, if I was the director, she would have a reasonable job, she'd be clean, she'd be going to meetings, but I don't get to run her life. And the self-seeking that I've done to try to get her to do life the way I want her to do has distanced her from me, has made things worse between us. And so, you know, what program has taught me is, I don't get to be the director of anyone's life, not even my own. When I hand it over, when I get in the back seat and I let God drive and I surrender and accept them. So thank you.
Thank you, Julie M. And was it Carrie S.?
Hi, this is Terry S. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can. Is that Terry with a T or Carrie with a K?
Terry with a T, like Tom.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Hi, everybody. This is Terry S. in Bend, Oregon, and I am thrilled to be on the line. I love this section of the Big Book. My sponsor has been having me read these three pages in the first person, which has been life-changing. I never thought I was self-centered. I'm a caregiver, a nurse, and I thought I was giving to everybody else, which I was, but it was to make me feel good or look good or be good. But what really strikes me in this paragraph is the 100 forms of fear, the self-pity, the self-delusion that I spent my life thinking I was a victim, that I had no ability to overcome this food addiction that I have. And I am just so grateful today to be in recovery with an understanding of my higher power that has grown in. It's so magical, and the miracles are happening every day for me. And it is simply because I finally had the gift of desperation to stop and listen and just follow the directions. So if you're out there today and you're struggling, I have been in program since 1987, in and out of relapse. It can happen. Yeah, I have to do the work, but how my life has changed is just truly a miracle, and I'm very, very grateful. So thank you, everybody, and with that, I pass.
Thank you. Perfect. Thank you, Terry. Yeah, so thank you all for your shares. Thank you for service, the people that gave service on Team Thursday, Laura R., Lorraine N., Kathy Jo P., Robin P., and Eileen M., and Janice P.M. So we'll now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer, and I will ask Robin P. to read that for
Thanks,
us.
Thanks,
you're welcome.
Hi, I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Vero Beach, Florida. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. God bless you with a very abstinent, wonderful day.